Well, welcome back, ladies. In this segment, we do our Bible study, and here we are with our teacher, Beth Seifert, who is going to teach us in the book of Romans. Thank you, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, yesterday we kind of left with seeing how Adam's sin has been carried on down throughout the generations, and today we're going to see God's grace. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 18 through 20, just those two verses today. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace might also reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, just to be clear here, any one sin leads to condemnation for men. Remember, if you broke the law at any one point, you were guilty of breaking the whole law, all of it. So even if Adam and Eve hadn't enjoyed that fruit, any one sin of yours or mine means we're guilty of breaking all of the law. And the condemnation for that is death. As Amy likes to say, but God. But God sent his son, his perfect sinless son, and his righteous perfect sacrifice on the cross, taking the cup of the wrath of God in our place. That leads to justification and life for all men. Now, don't get caught up here in what seems to be a universal justification and salvation for all men. Scripture is clear that, unfortunately, hell will not be empty. When you see the word all here, don't think that Scripture is contradicting itself. Think of it this way. If I'm teaching a class of third graders, the first thing I do is take attendance. I might even say, all are here, or everyone is here. I don't mean every single person in the whole world, or even every single third grader in the whole world. I mean all the third graders on my class list are here. In the same way, Christ's sacrifice leads to justification and life for all the men and women, of course, whose names are written in the book of life before time began. We don't know how many that will be, but he does. And his sacrifice covered all those who are his, who cannot be snatched out of his hand. So thus, when we read verse 19 and see that the many will be made righteous, we know Paul is not contradicting himself there. The many that are chosen, that are part of God, whose names are written in his book, they will be made righteous, not because of their own effort, but because of his. Remember, this doesn't mean you actually are righteous. This means that God sees you as righteous in your standing before him. And what a provocative statement that Paul makes in verse 20. Did the law come to increase the sin? How could that be? In Paul's day, the view was that God gave the law to reduce the impulse to sin. That is, he gave the people the law so that in knowing what was sin, they could avoid it. Although the Mosaic law is not flawed, it was given by God, after all, its very presence caused man's sin to increase. It made people more aware of their own sinfulness, and we'll see more about that in chapter 7, and it also served to drive the people to Christ, to see their need for a Savior, and to seek out that Savior. With the law, people sin against God's law not only in their consciences, but willfully trespassing against his written word. There's no excuse of, well, but you never explicitly told us not to do that. But even where sin increased, because of the knowledge of the law, since sins were specifically known and recognized as such, thus the increase, grace increased all the more, as we became more aware of what was sin, and yet we still continued to do those sins. His grace to cover those sins increased exponentially. It resulted in the ultimate act of grace, Christ's death on the cross, to give us his righteousness to cover all those sins. Paul's focus here is on the method of salvation. how sin or righteousness will be passed on from the leader to the whole group. Now, as we talked about yesterday, if we're still in Adam, we're still under sin. If we have accepted Christ, then we are now covered under his righteousness. Just as Adam's sin passed on to his offspring, so too, when we are part of the true vine, Christ, we are branches off of him, and his righteousness is given to us. So let's do a little compare and contrast between Adam and Christ, okay? Adam was made in the divine image. He was an image bearer. Christ was made in the form and the very essence of God. Adam thought it was a prize to be grasped to be as God. He wanted the knowledge that God had. Christ did not think it was a prize to be as God, as we see in Philippians 2. Adam spurned the role of God's servant. He wanted to be like God. Christ took upon himself the form of a slave. Adam sought to be like God. Christ came in the likeness of men. Adam was made a man from dust to which he would return. Christ was found in appearance as a man, but his body did not stay dead. Adam exalted himself. Christ humbled himself. Adam became disobedient unto death. Christ became obedient to the point of death. Adam was condemned and disgraced. Christ was highly exalted by God and given the name and position of Lord. Now, what I want us all to see today, especially me, is that God has always been trying to show us that we cannot do this alone. We can't. We need help. We can't hope to keep the law. The law shows us how far we are from him. Even our very thoughts betray us. It is not through our own strength that we can be righteous, but only through his righteousness given to us. From the very beginning, even before he created the world, God planned to send his son. I've heard the argument that God stacked the deck against humans because if he knew that man would sin and would be punished for it, why'd he create them in the first place? Well, I would suggest that God did not stack the deck against humans. He stacked the deck against his son. Knowing before time began what would happen and what would be necessary, he always had plan A in place to provide what we could not provide for ourselves. Well, what use is a savior if you don't think you need saving? Thus, the law helps to show us how depraved our sinful natures truly are. It draws that contrast ever more starkly between ourselves and him. We see how ungodly we are and how holy he is, and we realize we cannot do it alone. It's only once we do realize that we do need saving that we begin to look for a savior. And God promises the coming of a Savior long before Jesus is actually born, lives, dies, and is resurrected. He continued to promise that the Savior, the Messiah, would come. And he did. And those that realized what kind of a Savior they needed, they accepted him. And the others were disappointed because they still haven't learned what the law teaches, that we are all morally bankrupt. And we need righteousness from outside of ourselves. So today, ladies, thank him for the life that he provides, for his righteousness that covers us, for his grace to give to us that which we could never hope to attain on our own. Truly, what a loving, mighty, merciful God we serve.
Well, thank you so much, Beth. And remember, ladies, all of the notes and these 10-minute podcasts can be found at naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab. We will take a break and be right back to talk more about today's lesson.